It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? I hope you've had a happy new year so far. It's going to be even better as we go along. One thing about New Year's is this. It's new. I sure am glad. I don't know about you, but there is some stuff that I saw last year that I'm glad I don't have to bring it into 2016. Amen? And even as we talk about the word new, you know, it is new. That's why it's called New Year, New Resolution. It's supposed to be a new, fresh thing. It also is a time of reprieval. That means that you can go back and do some things better than you did last year because you get a second chance. And I heard someplace that says God is the God of the second chance because this year we can start over, wipe the slate clean, and start all over again. And I believe that as the awesome people of God that you are, God has given us, all of us, an opportunity in 2016 to be on the cutting edge of some stuff. And we're privileged to be a part of that. In prayers, I have sought the Lord. I believe there are some things I'd just like to share with you about this year first, as we begin to get into the Word. First of all, the enemies that you faced in 2015, I believe that you will see them no more. I believe that this will be a year. It will be a time you will find God for yourself in fresh ways. Now, what that means is you're not seeking other people to find God for you. You got to find God for yourself in this year. It will prove to be a time that God will be present as never before in your prayer time. You know where you've gone in and you felt like, God, where are you at? This is going to be like a face-to-face encounter this year, I believe. It will be a time that corporately there will be soaking times in the presence of the Lord. You'll come into the house of God, there may not even be preaching. There may be worship, but there'll be soaking in the presence of the Lord. Be expectant of that. It would be a time of seeing firsthand miracles that God brings. You see, we've heard of them from afar. We've heard them reported in other places. But I believe that in this year, in this house, you're going to begin to see miracles firsthand that you've never seen before. It will be a time that God will begin to rebuild and restore families because of our relentless trust and faith in Him. I know all of you have stuff and families. You have prayed, you have sought God for, because you have been relentless in your attitude and your faith towards God. This is going to be a year that God's going to begin to rebuild and to restore families in this house. It will be a time of God's provision, pushing forward, and not giving up. Because we're hearing the voice of God and doing what He's told us to do. It's going to be a great time this year as we face it with God on our side. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is from Zechariah 4, reading verses 6 through 10. Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become a plain, and he will bring forth a top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Also, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then they will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small beginnings? Now, Shiloh knows all about days of small beginnings. But even what we're seeing today is days of small beginnings. Because what God's going to do in this house, you haven't even begun to see the breakthrough of what God's going to do. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range row to and fro throughout the whole earth. I'm glad that we are not in 2015 or 13. You see, as we look at Zerubbabel this morning in this context, I would like to begin to summarize for you just a little of the vision that he had. 70 years earlier, Babylon had been destroyed, and Israel and all their cities, walls, and temples were destroyed. Zerubbabel was given an assignment. Look to your neighbor and say, I have an assignment. It may not be to build a temple, but I have an assignment. God was leading them to build the wall and the temple that lay in ruins. Zerubbabel's job was to build the temple. Every single one of us, no matter how old you are, how young you are, even if you're saying God didn't call me to do it, guess what? It's your job. God has an assignment for you. You know, you can walk into a clothing store, and I know some people in my family and others that like designer labels. Do you have anybody in your house that likes designer labels? I want to assure you that God has placed a designer label on you. That designer label, you are the only one that can really fulfill the thing that God has called you to do. You see, we have our own assignments. Your assignment is different from mine. My assignment is different from yours, thank God. And you probably say the same about me. But the fact is, you have an assignment that God has labeled on you, and you will fulfill that which God's called you to do. You see, the people with Zerubbabel, they had enthusiasm for the task to rebuild the altar. They were sent through the first stage to rebuild the altar, and then the second stage laid the foundation of the temple. Just after the second stage, opposition came. This is a little bit of my favorite scripture because I can sort of remember as we were building the temple here. Because what begins to happen is you can have a vision for something. You can lay the foundation, and then all of a sudden, and I know every one of us have had all of the some of those all of a suddens in our life, where all of a sudden the local residents of Zerubbabel begin to oppose the building project. And they were discouraging the workers from participating in the project. But here's what happens. Zerubbabel had the vision. He started well. He could see the end result. But then something happened. All of a sudden, he didn't finish the task. Now, I asked you this morning, as God's given each one of us a task and an assignment, Did you start on a pathway and then all of a sudden the family begin to say, God didn't say that to you. Who do you think you are? Then that discouragement begins to come. And then you begin to believe the lie of the enemy that says, you know, I didn't really hear the voice of God anyway. So what do I think I am going to do? And then we slowly but surely begin to lay down the word of the Lord that he's given us. And as a result of it, we never finish what we started. But here along this path, I say to you that Zerubbabel started well. In our lives, we start well. But God's assignment to us today is that we would finish well what we started. If I was to title this, I'd say, don't give up, finish what you started, or I will not quit. Amen? Many of us in this room are in the same place the Zerubbabel was. We have unfulfilled dreams, incomplete goals, dead visions, half-built projects. You've laid the foundation of the project, but you haven't finished it. You need not to give up. It's time to finish. It's time to complete that which God's called you to do. This message is just that. Don't give up. Don't close the business down. Don't sell off the contract. You started it, now you have to finish it. Don't give up because there is no progress. Don't give up because customers are not coming. Don't give up because there's no folks coming in. Don't give up because no one encourages you. Don't sell the company because you're discouraged. Don't give up because no one appreciates your calling. Don't give up because you're stagnant. Don't give up because of financial difficulties. Don't give up because of oppositions and criticisms. Be determined that you will finish what you started. Not by your power, not by your might, but by the Spirit of the living God, no matter what. You see, I'm going through, I hope you are, I'm not going to give up. I'm going through the thing that God has given me as an assignment. That is going to be my song. It's going to be my story. I hope it's going to be your song. I hope it's going to be your story, that I'm pressing on. I'm going through with what God has given me. One day a young lady was driving on a trip with her father. On the trip, they encountered the storm, and it reminded me something like driving to Phoenix. The news media tells you what to do in the midst of a storm. Don't do this, do that. I'm so confused when I get to Phoenix, I don't know whether I'm supposed to hit the brake lights, turn the lights on, or leave them off. But they were on a trip and they encountered this storm, and in the storm, all of a sudden they couldn't see where they were going. And all of a sudden people began to pull over by the side of the road, and the daughter says, what should I do? They're pulling off the side of the road. Honey, keep going. They may be stopping, but you keep on going. Then the 18-wheelers begin to pull off to the side of the road. But they're pulling off. Don't you think I should pull off too? No. You keep pushing on. You keep going. They kept going on through the storm, through the wind, through the rain. Then all of a sudden, the clouds broke. You could see the sunshine. What am I to do now? She says. Well, pull over to the side of the road and get out. But why now? I want you to get out and look back. I want you to see every person that is stopped by the side of the road because they did not keep going. But you came through the storm. You came through the clouds, and you came through to the other side because you chose not to quit. I tell you today that because she persevered and pushed through, her storm was past. Her storm was behind her. And I can assure you today, although you may feel like you're in the middle of a storm today, I would say to you, don't quit. Push on. Push in. Keep going. The day is coming. You're going to look back and you're going to see the ones that stopped and you didn't stop, because God is with you in the midst of the storm, and He's going to see you all the way through. Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says, I will lift mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. He will keep you. He will not let you slip. He will not let go of you. You may feel like other people have let go of you. I want to assure you that God is on your side. He's not going to let go of you in 2016. He didn't let go of you in 2015, 2014, 2013. Why is it going to change this year? It's not. It's going to be more anointed, better, and the presence of God is going to be with you as never before. You see, there are reasons that people give up in the storm. We all have our God-ordained assignments. But what we fail to understand many times is there's the birth of a vision. That when God comes and we're filled with inspiration, we feel, I can do this, I know I can do this, and nothing's going to stop me. But, like with Zerubbabel, something does. Then the foundation is laid. You invest everything that you have, spiritually and physically, into the birth of the vision. Then there's the death. This is a stage nobody wants. The stage that this doesn't feel right. I don't know if God called me to do this or not. You know, nothing is working. It surely couldn't be God, because nothing is working. It's the why me stage, Lord. Lord, didn't you tell me? Why is nothing working? Didn't you say I would be successful? Well, the Lord also said that we should die. You see, before a vision can live, it has to die. Then the vision can be reborn and rebirthed. The rebirth of a vision is when God steps in with His mighty hand and power, turn the whole situation around, and give you strength is not by your might and your power and your strength. It's by His might, His power, and His strength, says the Lord. So I'm going to take His word for it. Because every time that I tried and my power, my strength, and my know-how, guess what? It always fails. But when we tap into His power, His wisdom, His might, it always succeeds. See, for a dream to really come to pass, we have to get focused. I heard somewhere through my life somebody say, and it seemed like it was on a mission trip, that said, "Focus, grasshopper." And that came from some movies, and I'm sure that you all heard it at one time or other in your life. You see, we must keep our eyes open. We've got to keep our ears opened, and we've got to be purposed in where we're going. Focus, grasshopper. I don't know if cell phones have brought us forward or backward. It seems like you can never get away from people. You can never get away from the ringing phone or text or Facebooking or the other things. But they tell me that in statistics, texting while driving is 6 times more likely to cause an accident than being drunk and driving. 6 times more. Answering the text takes away your attention for about 5 seconds. Traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Think about that. Texting while driving causes a 400% increase in time spent with your eyes off the road. You may have heard the news report of a man named Joshua. He fell to his death on Christmas Day while in San Diego. He was from Indiana. He may not have understood that if he took his eyes off of where he was for a moment, would lead him to sudden death. That's tragic. And what happened? And his mother said, "Make sure you tell your kids you love them every day." I'm glad that I had the opportunity to say I love you to my son before he fell. I say this to you this morning. Getting your eyes off of where you're headed can be spiritual death. Because in a moment, you can be on the right track, and the next moment, you will miss completely where God has you headed. For a dream to be fulfilled, it has to first die. If you sow a seed, the seed will first of all die. John 12:24 says that. "Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Ask a farmer. A seed will die, and then it begins to germinate. If you don't want your seed to die, then you don't want it to bring forth fruit. People like Joseph, Moses, Paul, saw their dream die. Moses in front of the Red Sea, Pharaoh behind them, and nowhere where to run, who said, "We are going to die here. Why do we have to have death vision, you may ask me. There are lessons to be learned from a vision dying. The period of death vision is a period of waiting on the Lord to see what you don't see. Sometimes you think you've got it all together. You understand what this vision's all about. I can assure you, none of us really understand what it's all about. It is a faith walk. You walk this out. That works. Praise, we're going to take another step that way. But there may be times it does not work. And that's where God wants us to trust Him. It is also the time that you begin to believe God for what seems impossible. Lord, I don't even know how we could do that. Well, we didn't either. Here at Shiloh, people were saying, don't build this church. Don't you know that, you know, the market is depressed? You won't be able to sell the church, and the money's going to dry up. Well, it did dry up, but guess what? It came back. Amen? We are in here because we had a vision to see it come to pass. Even in your life, if you give up at the death, you will never see the completion of what God has called you to. You see, God is the one that brings it forth. The season of the death is when you realize that you don't have the power in your own to make anything work. You can't make people come to church. You can't make them get saved. You can't make them come to your business. You can't make them do anything. But the seed, the death seed, will bring forth life that will produce life and release the new birthing of the vision. You see, when people have stagnation, the greatest battle they have is not the opposition or the great mountain, but it's the battle within ourselves. Because we begin to face doubt, frustration, and confusion, and many times that leads us to a portal of just wanting to give up. You see, even with Zerubbabel, he said, am I the cause for this mess? And all of us have done the same thing. We have turned around, we have looked at ourselves, and you begin to say, is this happening because of me? I can assure you it's not. And I'm going to show you why. You see, we need to break the curse of stagnancy and finish what we started. Focus on the promise and not the problem. Sometimes we get our eyes, we get our focus on the wrong thing. And when we focus on the problem, you'll fail every time. We need to break the curse and finish the project. You have to remember the vision. If the Lord has said it, He will cause it to come to pass just like He said He would. A sidebar says, make sure the voice that you're hearing is the voice of God. It's not the voice of your mama. It's not the voice of people that want to see you accomplish it. Because your friends will guide you wrong many times when God's word will set the course straight for you. We need to be sure that in our heart, as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and this is a year that we need to be walking in the Spirit and hearing the voice of God like we've never heard it before. I believe prophetically that right now that we're in a season, that as we step into this season, it could be life-saving for you to hear the voice of God that says, go here or don't go here. Turn right here or turn left here. Hear the voice of God. Tap into the voice of God. Hear Him in your closet. So when you're out in the marketplace, in the workplace, and there may be danger that is facing you, and by the voice of God, He can alert you and set you on a new course that could save your life and that could save your family. So I think it's critical that we hear and know the voice of God in this hour. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. You see, you need to remind yourself of the word. The word needs to be our foundation for life. That before He formed you in the belly, He knew you. He knew everything about you. He set you apart. He ordained you. He sanctified you. He said, this will be your mission. This is what you're to do. The Word says that He has set you over nations and kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Remember that He has promised to perfect the things that concern you. He has promised to perfect the things that concern you. The Word tells us that He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I can tell you that in my times, and we can go through this congregation, people in their times of weakness and sickness and needing God and health situations, cried out to God, and the Lord heard us. And the Lord will hear you right where you are. He is great. He is mighty. He is mightier than any situation or circumstance that you faced in 2015. He is greater and mightier than any situation or circumstance that you were facing in 2016. Because He has already put the designer label in you and said that you are an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror today because of what He's put in you. We must come to that place that we have the mind of Christ. If you are to break the barrier and finish the project you have, you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. You can feel sorry all 2016 and 2017. You're talking about the same thing all over again. But if you determine now that the devil's a liar and we're going to stomp his head where it belongs, declaring that Jesus is Lord over us, that Jesus is Lord over our circumstances and our situations, that He's going to see us through to the end, that we're not going to give up because He said, when you thought I wasn't there, I was walking right by your side. He has been with you all along. Have victory over the past, victory over our sin, victory over what others have said about us. Stop living regret and know that has been settled right there. Everything has been settled at the cross. Stop condemning yourself. Stop judging yourself. It is not your fault. It is not your business partners. It is not your employees or your employer's fault. It is nobody's fault. You say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll say to you this morning, it's a part of God's plan. Because if you are able to accomplish everything that is in your vision, it's your vision. But it has to be by His might, by His power, by His authority that you accomplish it. Because He has to bring you to that place that you can see you can't do it and it has to die. The stuff that you've been investing in, putting yourself into, it hasn't worked. It has to die. Because now you can begin to walk out and you say, boy, I built a good business. Look at what I did. My school is the best school in town. Look what I did. Our church is the best church. No. I can assure you, if it's the best because of you, it's not of God. The number one thing that has to get out of the way is you. When we get out of the way, then God can step in and He can begin to do what He wants to do. Because He's got a plan, He's got a design, He's got a purpose. He knows what you should be about. He knows what this church should look like. He's got a plan already, but until we get on board with what God wants to do with us, He can't do nothing with this church. It's a time for us to stop quitting and pressing in. We got to stop and see that many times we have killed things that God has had before us because of our attitude. The Word tells us, let this attitude be in you which was in Christ Jesus. You've got to have a right attitude, not negative. Got to live by faith and not by sight. Have a right attitude towards yourself, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Look at yourself and see who you are in Him. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. Begin to see yourself like God sees you. You see, we see ourselves stuck right here. Thank God. When God looks down and He looks through the blood of Jesus, He can see us completed, finished, and complete. And when the devil seems to throw everything that he has against you, then it is then that God Himself begins to do some things. Because He is on your side. I was remembering in just a flash as Stephen was looking into heaven. There are things that we do on the earth that Jesus will stand up for. Because when Stephen looked, the Word says he looked steadfastly into heaven and saw God the Father and Jesus standing at the right hand. Here, Stephen was being stoned to death
But looking into heaven, Jesus was saying, he's my man. I'm on his side. Go for it. Jesus is saying the same thing to some of us. When we've got to the point that we want to quit and stop right where we are, I believe Jesus is in the stance of standing up and saying, go for it. This is your time. This is your hour. This is your purpose. I am going to cheer you on and see that you see it through to completion, because this is my will. This is my purpose. We need to begin to see it as he sees it. God sees it through his blood. Finished and complete. We need to remember that God is in control. You see, we've always liked to be in control. If you could hold your hand out and just say, Lord, I give it to you, then he'll take it. He's more than willing to take it out of your hands, because I think sometimes we're not capable of doing what God wants us to do. You see, it's not by strength. It's not by religion. It's not by denomination. It's not by collective strength, but by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that sees it through. I think that the Spirit of God behind things is just the muscle behind what you do. If you can see that, as you begin to do things, then God endorses it. Then his Spirit comes alongside and begins to encourage you on. And then all of a sudden you see things being accomplished. That doesn't mean that you don't do anything and he does it all. It doesn't mean he does it all, you do nothing. It means that we are, the word says that we are co-workers with him. So to me, that means that there's a part that he does and that there's a part that I do. But if you're putting it all on him, it's not going to get accomplished. But as we trust it into his hands, he's able to bring his power, his anointing, and his purpose into the middle of it. You will see success if you do not quit. Zechariah 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone. Therefore were shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. I believe this is the word of the Lord for those of you that are on the verge of giving up. Giving up on your dreams, giving up on your goals because of obstacles and barriers. You, who are you, great mountain, in front of us? What is the thing that you have facing you that seems insurmountable? The word of the Lord that came says that you, great mountain, will become like a plain. Doesn't matter how big that mountain is, our God is able to overcome that to the degree that it becomes a plain if we choose not to give up. You see, right where you are, and I can look across this congregation, and I can almost tell you stuff you're going through. If you don't give up, God is the God that will see to it. He's the God that will step in on your behalf. You don't know where the finances are coming from? Good. God is able. You don't know where the healing is coming from? That's good. You can't heal? God does. You don't know where your next job is coming from? That's good. You don't have a job, but He does. He's the provider. You see, when God becomes our all in all, then what begins to happen? The mountains will become knocked down. Then we will see that you will begin to be able to finish the very thing that you started out to do. I know with me in my life, I started on one track, and I thought I was on the right track, and the Lord almost had to smack me in another way. And I think there's probably people here today that need a smack from the Lord that would get us on the right track. I think we get confused and frustrated. And I would just say, in this hour that we're in 2016, don't give up. Push into those things that God has for you. As you will begin to relax in God, I would say love God like you've never loved Him before. Because out of that flows the essence of who He is and what He wants to do for you. Love Him. Serve Him. Obey Him. You see, if you'll do that, what will begin to happen is those things that you have had failures in the past that seem to be failures, all of a sudden, you can let them die, but don't quit. Because the next step you'll step into will be a step of success into what God's called you to do. I can see you accomplishing what God's called you to accomplish. Don't give up. Finish what you started. Thomas Edison was considered by his peers and others as a failure in many, 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 many ways. But he was quoted as saying, "I have not failed. I have just found 10,000 ways that won't work." I'm going to ask Ryan if he would come. I want you to remember this morning as we look at an altar time. Remember this. A winner is this. A person that gets up one more time, then they're knocked down. And God is on your side this morning. He's not wanting you knocked down or knocked out. He's saying to us this morning, let's get up and let's complete the thing that He's called us to do. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me?